بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، واللعنة الدائمة الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. إن شاء الله. Now we are going to session 6. Like many times people they go to ziyarat and they just like they're roamed around the haram and dharih and recitation of the ziyarat and classic, and they said we are done. Like now we need to give them a certificate of completion of the ziyarat. Well, I mean, the whole question is how much connection you made with the Infallible, how much communication you were able to make with the Infallible alayhi salatu wasalam. That's the main important part. So we were talking a lot of tips, but of course we cannot cover all the tips if we start. Like, we have to be there to speak more about this kind of thing. But here, since we have a short sessions, so what we are going to do basically is that we are going to just surf around. We were in Karbala, and inshallah, before leaving to Kazmin, there are a few things I just want to go through them, and just a kind of quick reminder that first of all, when we are visiting Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, we really need to make sure that we are visiting him with all this grief and sorrow. We are participating like the way our Imams alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to visit our Imam Hussein, ash'ath aghbar, that means dust and hair. I'm not saying that pick the dust and put your hand and make your hair like a scary movie or something like that and go. No. Let it be natural. Let your looks be like a sad person, somebody who is coming to offer condolence, somebody who's coming to offer, like somebody who's really, really, really in pain because of the pain of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Somebody who's really in pain because of the pain of Bibi Zainab alayhi salatu wasalam, Master Lady Zainab. All these kind of things are very important. So basically, when we were talking about Karbala, let me just scroll through quickly what we mentioned about the Karbala. Okay, we mentioned certain things. I'll just scroll and see what we missed, because this slide is basically prepared by one of our brother. His name is Aqil Lalji. He is from Arusha. He made this to give presentation. He was with us with the ziyarat. So alhamdulillah, I thank him because he saved me a lot of time in preparing this slide. But I'm not going through all these slides he made. I'm just taking some of the points and elaborating it more, because there is not too much elaboration in certain points which I want to mention. But the over and all the slides, they are amazing. If anybody wants, just let me know. I'll email you these slides. So just on alqaim@gmail.com. Anyhow, so Karbala is place where is shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. And ziyarat, I mean a lot of rewards and merits. Ziyarat of Imam Hussein. Like, because of his sacrifice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the blessings which is coming out of the shrine of Imam Hussein greater than all the infallibles. Like Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, Kulluna sufunun najat. We all are ark of success. But wala safina ka safina jaddi al-Hussein. But my grandfather's ark is bigger. Like, Fa'at is bigger. His followers are plenty. Imam Hussein alayhi salam wakened people up. Like, all the aimas they would do, but circumstances of Imam Hussein were in a way that he was able to waken them up and open their eyes. So that's why a lot of reward is associated with the movement of Imam Hussein, visitation of Imam Hussein, majalis of Imam Hussein, lamentations of Imam Hussein, grieving on Imam Hussein. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the people to link with the infallible, especially Imam Hussein, to keep themselves awake. Once they are awake, then they will be taking from Imam Ali's Nahjul Balagha, then they will be taking from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu's Sharia, then they will be taking from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir's Sharia and wisdom, intellectual, and all the Imams alayhi salatu, whatever they gave. Once they come to this kind of, they snap out of their blindness and their temptations, and then they will take all the infallible. So all the infallible's knowledge depends on the awakening of follower. And awakening of the follower comes by the grief and the sorrow on the tragedy of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. So visitation of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam is one of the important factors. Imam explained, whoever goes for the ziyarat, like it's 1,000 hajj, 1,000 umrah, minor hajj, 1,000 martyrs of Badr, reward of 1,000 martyrs of Badr, people who fought defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Islam, the first battle in Islam. 1,000 reward of fasting, 1,000 reward of giving charity, sadqah, poor raid, 1,000 reward of feeding 1,000 slaves. He or she is protected for the whole year. Subhanallah, if that means you just have to go every year visit Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, you will have the amnesty security for one entire whole year. That is, again, the ma'rifat is important. The more you have the ma'rifat, the merrier the rewards will be. The merrier your protection will be. The merrier all these rewards will be. But like, the more you have this internal connection. Grieve on Imam Hussein. Shed your tears on Imam Hussein. I mean, imagine if you go to Karbala and you don't have only even for a 5-minute session or 3-minute session grieving, remembering the tragedy of Karbala. You have not gone to Karbala. Why did you go to Karbala? Every year you do matam, Ya Hussein, and cry on Imam Hussein. And when you are in the land, when you have to remember, picture the whole incident where it happened and how it happened, your tears does not come out, then your ziyarat is just like that. Your ziyarat does not have any essence, any effect. So an angel will be appointed to protect him from all sides. All these are great rewards. The more you have ma'rifah, the more these rewards are emphasized. They will ask for forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, the reward of the ziyarat of Imam Hussein is not just for this world, for the hereafter. When angel of death takes the soul away, Imam Hussein's relation comes here. And angel of death is upon our follower. Whoever grieves on Imam Hussein, there's a guarantee, no grief hereafter. You grieve in this world on Imam Hussein, Allah takes all the grief away from you of the hereafter. That means starting from death until the day of judgment. Anytime you are tortured, you are punished, your grieving on Imam Hussein comes, the true grieving. That means all the adab will be moved away. All the punishment, torment, torture will be moved away. Okay, even if a person was drinking alcohol and wait. If a person truly grieves from his heart, that means as the ma'rifah. Ma'irfan haqqi. What is the manzar al-imam arifan bihaqqi? Knowing is right. Irfanu haqqihi annahu imamun muftaradu ta'a. That means his imam, I have to obey him. When you are drinking alcohol, you are not obeying imam. You are not going ziyarat with ma'rifah. I'm talking about those people who commit sins continuously, insisting on it. But if somebody has fallen into a slip or somehow not insisting on his sins, he goes there. On the hereafter, ziyarat of Imam Hussein cleans him up. But if somebody is insisting on drinking alcohol, committing fornication, zina, having flirting with the girls and making... That kind of person is not a true follower and a true visitor of Imam Hussein. This is not a true visitor of Imam Hussein. True visitor is the one who has this ma'rifah. That means when he goes, when he cries, he has this ma'rifah. He knows that I have to obey the Imam. When he does like that, suppose he had committed, he's not an infallible person. He might have committed sin here and there and not insisting on sin, slips and errors and all those kind of things. So what will happen here? When the time of death comes for the punishment, ziyarat of Imam Hussein, a visit for a visit. You visited me, I visit you. When Imam Hussein visits, Malik al-Maut eases the whole situation. Angel of death eases the painful tupors of death on the person who used to recite ziyarat of Imam Hussein, who had this strong connection. And then after that, munkaru nakir, the grave punishment, that is moved away. And then on the day of judgment, the accounting is easy. And he goes to the paradise with the Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, and by the blessings of the intercession of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. So the whole idea is ma'rifat, foundation of ma'rifat, foundation of grief for Imam Hussein, pain. If you really love Imam Hussein, you will feel the pain of Imam Hussein. That's why, what is this? Why do we do azadari? To express our pain. Yes, I love you, my master. Bi abi anta wa ummi ya Aba Abdullah. I love you more than my father and mother. I'll give everything for you. Bi abi anta wa ummi yabna Rasulullah. That means I'm willing to give everything up for you. Because you gave everything for the sake of Islam. So I give everything up for your sake and your love and your command. So that's why this is the obedience. Ma irfan haqqihi. What is the ma'rifat of Imam and his right? Ma'rifat that annahu imamun muftaradu ta'a. We have to obey him. Once we obey him and then we fall into errors, then his intercession comes and cleans us up in the errors and sins, which are not insisting sins and continuous sins. People, they have to seek forgiveness and stop committing insisting sins. And otherwise, there's a problem in the Shiism. If you say, I'm a Shia, and you are insisting on a certain sin, there's a problem in that title. Shi'atna man ata'a Allah. Our Shias are those who obey Allah. So let's see. And the gates of heaven will be opened. There are lots of reward. The best reward I would love is the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are pleasing the messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How beautiful it is. How beautiful if you are able to please the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is your lottery ticket. That's your jannah. If you please Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha, when you visit Imam Hussein, say, Ya Fatima al-Zahra, I'm coming here to just please you, my master lady. Allahu Akbar.
That is the... That, see, these kind of things are very important. Like, whom do you try to please? Pleasing Allah, pleasing Messenger of Allah, pleasing the Lady of Light, Fatima al-Zahra, pleasing Imam Ali, pleasing the Infallible, pleasing the 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. So therefore, these are all rewards. But to me personally, the best reward is just to be there, to have this connection, spiritual connection, soul to soul, heart to heart, love to love. This is the best reward. This is my Jannah. This is if this happens, Alhamdulillah, I got all this 100 Hajjah. I don't need that. I need this kind of connection with my master, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. This is the best Jannah you have. This is the best reward you have. So pleasing the Imams, pleasing our beloved Prophet Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala. So I'm not going to, there are so many rewards. I'm not going to cite all these rewards. There will be no one on the field of Qiyamah, Shafa'ah, intercession. As far as a spiritual etiquette is concerned, we have this connection. All this was mentioned at this time. The Zahir should take opportunity to think about why all this thawab has been promised to him for realized to supreme sacrifice. We also mentioned this because of the great sacrifice of Imam Hussein. It is not surprising, therefore, that we find tyrants of Bani Umayyah and Bani Abbas tried their best to stop from coming of the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, people from coming to the ziyarat. They tried. No more ziyarat. Why? Because coming, visiting ziyarat of Imam Hussein opened the eyes of people, makes them alert against the oppression, against the oppressors. So that's why the worst type of oppressors of Bani Abbas, they had some type of punishment in one time that anybody who was caught visiting Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they will cut off his legs, cut off his hands, kill him. Death penalty was penalty of visiting Imam Hussein alayhi salam at some time. But these tyrants, they went and the ziyarat did not stop. The ziyarat continues and it will continue. It will continue. People, they will, like in the time of Gulf War, they said, oh, don't go because there's a danger. Flights, Iraqi, Kuwaiti, this kind of, there were these so many problems happening while Gulf War. But people, they were going. Now thousands and thousands of people, they were coming, visiting Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. They were there. I mean, visiting was there. So if there is visiting, Islam is going to stay. Why? Because Imam Hussein will always pop up on the faces of these oppressors and valimeen and waken people up. Wake up, snap out of your sleeping. But then Habib ibn Mudahir, we mentioned, remember the masaib of Habib ibn Mudahir, when Imam wrote a letter to Habib, oh Habib, come on, support us, and all these kind of things. We mentioned then Zahir should try to maintain pure thoughts and pure feelings and respectful behavior in the holy sanctuary. Like many times people, they come and they chat. Okay, that's fine, you want to chat, you're done with ziyarah, you're sitting. Hell, you are here to chat with Imam Hussein, not with your friends. You chat with your friends in the hotel, in your bedroom. I mean, those youth will take them. They want to chat even inside. Come on now, chat with the Imam. You are here to communicate with the Imam. Chat with the Imam. That's the big chatting. So therefore, the situation is that instead of chatting with the Imam, they're chatting in between. Oh, but we are done with khalas the ziyarah. I mean, we are done with the ziyarah. Alhamdulillah, we have now break and spare time. Like it's like a break time, and we are done. We need tea, chai, kebab, kubba, whatsoever, halawiyat, biskut. Yani, come on. I mean, you are here to chat. Chat with your Imam. This is an opportunity, lifetime opportunity. You might not be able to come next year. It's so much expenses. Tickets are very expensive. But trust me, Imam Hussein alayhi salam makes it easy. Make your intention to go there every year. You know. So you will have that kind of blessings to Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. And Imam Hussein will give you money. He will make more and more money out of this. If Hajj you go, increases your money. Can't Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, when you please Lady of Light, Fatima al-Zahra, they will never abandon you. Every eye will be weeping on the Day of Judgment, will be crying from pain and suffering. Except for the eye which shed their tears for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the tragedy of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. If you cry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let you cry. He will please you. You cry for Imam Hussein, Allah will please you. Once your death time comes, you will not cry. You will be pleased. After that, until you go to the paradise, no. Why? أَنْ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَهُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There is no fear and there is no grief for them. Why? Because you grieved on Imam Hussein a lot. So therefore, like Dariq, we mentioned that about the Shuhada. One should note that the dome of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam is located pinkish marble. There's a marble stone, Rukhama, which is reported that replaced by whoever asks Hajat. Like people, they used to pray there.
on that place and ask Allah's hajat. But what happens? Too much crowd happens. So now they have made a line, so you can pray here, here, here. Doesn't matter. The main thing is, do not bother the visitors of Imam Hussein just because you want to pray a special prayer on this spot. This is selfishness. And Imam Hussein does not like selfishness. No, I want to pray on this spot. I have paid a lot of thousands of dollars to come here. I'm not going to miss this spot. There's a small red marble beside the head of Imam Hussein. It's an indication of the head of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Heck, now you are not talking to the body of Imam Hussein. You're talking to the soul of Imam Hussein, which is in front of you with the head. So don't be too much worried about these kind of... Yes, do it. If you have opportunity, do it. Our Imams, they did it. But don't let this be on the account of hurting others who are other wajibat. So the hajat will be granted because istijaba. Remember, dua under the dome of Imam Hussein is mustajab. And then Zahir should take care not to miss the opportunity to gain maximum of this holy spiritual place. Even one may not be aware of the detail of Arabic meaning of the ziyarat, which we are taught. However, simply the Zahir keeps in mind the fact, the communication. Do your ziyarat narrated, because it's narrated by Imam. Then after that, close your book, just sit, close your eyes, heart to heart, soul to soul, love to love, communication with your beloved Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, and cry and grieve with your communication, because he had been through hell, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They gave him seriously hard time until his sacrifices were done with him, with family. He went through a lot, salamullahi alayhi. So therefore, let's see what else is left. Communicate with Imam in his own words. Speak to him. Present to him their problems. Confess wrongdoings and hurting the Imam's feeling. Like whenever you do wrongdoings and you say, I'm a follower of Imam Hussain, you're hurting feelings of Imam. So apologize. Oh master, I have done sins. I have done wrongdoings. Please forgive me, because I know that you are watching us. You are watching of Amal every Monday and Thursday. The Amal are presented to you all, our Amals. And when you see wrong things inside it, it hurts you. Imam Jafar Sadiq says that our Shia's Amal, they are presented to us. They said, how can that be, Abna Rasulullah? They said, قُلْ اعْمَلُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, tell them, O Muhammad, work, do deeds, good deeds. فَسَيَّرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at your deeds. وَرَسُولُهُ. And his messenger will look at your deeds. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَصَالَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Something like that. That means there are believers. But not every believers look at the a'mal of the follower. Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu says that we are the one, we look at the a'mal of our Shias. So once you see that Imam Ja'far Sadiq is looking, oh, you did this, you hurt somebody, you backbited, and that pains. Imam Sadiq says that if we see in our book of our followers of Ahlul Bayt, when it is presented to us, when we see that our follower has committed sin, it hurts us. It really hurts us. How can they follow and commit these kind of sins? So anyhow, then we have Abdullah ibn Ja'far al-Tayyar. A few kilometers outside of Haram of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam is located the dharih of Aun and Muhammad. Aun, son of Abdullah, son of Ja'far al-Tayyar, who is brother of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Now there are two narrations. You will see that they have written Aun, son of Bibi Zainab alayhi salatu wasalam. But when you see in the dharih, Aun, the son of Lady Zainab is there. So this is some other Aun. Who is this Aun? I mean, it's like a confusing point there. But you just visit as its Aun, son of Zainab alayhi salatu wasalam. So a few kilometers outside of Haram of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, located the shrine of Aun, who was the son of Abdullah and Master Lady Zainab alayhi salatu wasalam, the son of Ja'far. This has two graves, you will see. One you go outside, one inside the shrine of the martyrs, you will see the name there presented. So maybe the name was kept there to indicate the martyrs, not necessarily that they are inside this. But if the Hur's name is not inside, that means not like those martyrs are inside, their names are there. Because Habib was martyr also. So if on the grill Habib's name is written, that means these names are written, whether they are inside or not, they are just written to show the martyrs' names. Because Habib is buried outside in an independent grave. And then Hur is buried outside, because Hur, and they were going to trample the bodies of Bani Hashim, a people of Hur, tribe of Hur, they came. Hur was the one who stopped the caravan of Imam Hussein, and Imam Hussein gave them water. And then on the day of Ashura, He turns the table around and comes to Imam Hussein and joins the group of Imam Hussein and repents and then seeks forgiveness from Imam Hussein for leading his caravan to this predicamation. So anyhow, Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam forgave him. So Hur also defended Imam Hussein and was martyred. He was martyred in Karbala. But you see, his body is buried all the way out. You have to go by bus or something like that to visit Hur. Hur was amongst the martyrs in Karbala. But why did he end up into very far away? Because the family of Hur, the tribe of Hur, they said, we want to take the body of Hur, then whatever you want to do, do. They told Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad and Umar ibn Sa'ad. So Umar ibn Sa'ad, he said, okay, take the body of Hur and the rest we are going to trample them. So that's why the Zahir should offer salams to Janab Aun. And finally, the Zahir should send La'na to the killer of Aun, who was reported to be Abdullah and Qutbah. Just instead of memorizing this, just La'na, may Allah condemn and curse to all those who killed. And then there is an area around Karbala. There are two children of Muslim ibn Aqil. Muslim ibn Aqil was martyred in Kufa. But in Karbala, somehow they ran, these two kids, they ran, they were very small children. They ran from the prison of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, and the enemies, they kept looking for and looking. Finally, they were tired, exhausted. They took refuge into a house of a lady, and the husband of that lady was evil. He came home and he found out and he wants to kill them. He tells his son to kill. The son does not kill. The son defended, he killed his son. See, he just wanted the gold from Ibn Ziyad to take these children there. He wanted this gold. He kills his son. And his wife defends. He hurts his wife. In some narration, he kills his wife also. And he tells his slave, kill them. The slave crosses the river and runs away. He doesn't want to commit this crime. Then he takes the sword out and kills both of them. This is a brutality. Two children, they have not reached the age of adolescence, less than 10 years old, as mentioned in some of the narration. They were killed. These are the two sons of Muslim Aqil, Muhammad and Ibrahim. It is also located in a place which is called Musayyab. Musayyab is a place between Karbala and Baghdad, Karbala and Kadhimin. So they were running away and they were caught there and they were killed. And these two young children were brought up in the family of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Therefore, these two children grew up, and then it was precisely for the reasons that the enemies of Islam targeted them. You must have heard this story in the majalis, and you can also look into the book of Sheikh Abbas al-Qummi, Martyrdom of Sons of Muslim Ibn Aqil. You'll get the whole detailed story. The story is very long. It will require big whole session just for them. That's why I said, while people are going there in the bus or inside the hotel, the caravan leader can organize a session with the caravan guide and tell them all these historical things about these important personalities. So, and always, then we have Hur ibn Yazid, located outskirts of Karbala, in Rawda of Hur ibn Yazid, al-Riyahi. Historically speaking, he was a commander, we mentioned this, chief commander of Ibn Ziyad's army. And he stopped the caravan of Imam Hussein, prevented Imam Hussein from entering to Kufa. You hear all this in the day of Ashura. He presented his case. He apologized to Imam Ali Salatu Wasalam. The biggest lesson we can learn is that no matter how big the sin is, but once you realize you have an opportunity to repent, as long as the door of repentance is open, you need to repent. Then Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, we mentioned the shrine of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, and we mentioned how important it is to visit Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and not to ignore him. Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu said that Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas had sacrificed everything he had to help his brother, to extend that both hands were cut off and the reward of Allah. This Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, that this loyalty with, that he was there, the water was there in his hand. Ya nafs, man ba'd al-Husayni, yani how can drink this water and my brother Hussein is thirsty? Oh nafs, you're going to drink al-barid al-ma'ini, so this cold water, sparkling water, you're going to drink it, and my brother, your brother Hussein, is thirsty? No, he dropped the water. He never drank from the water. This is the loyalty. It was not haram for him to drink the water. It's not a masala of haram and halal. It's the loyalty. How can I drink and my brother is thirsty? How can I drink and the family is thirsty? And on the day of judgment, the position occupied by Hazrat Abbas, Abu al-Fadl Abbas, will be so high that all the other shuhada and martyrs will envy the status. The highest status of shuhada after Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam and the infallibles is the status of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. And then, it's very important. You have to visit. Imam Hussein, if you are not able to visit Imam Hussein, okay, but Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, don't miss him. Because Fatimatul Zahra salamullah will really be upset on you. And remember what we said? The pleasure of Ahlul Bayt. The pleasure of Fatimatul Zahra. Because Fatimatul Zahra said, Umm al-Baneen, you took my son? It's your son?
I take Abbas. Abbas is my son. So if you visit Abul Fadl Abbas, you are putting pleasure in the heart of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. So basically, it's described that high status of Hazrat Abbas, we mentioned this, and then the numerous services rendered on the plains of Karbala. Like imagine when Abul Fadl Abbas was martyred, Imam Hussein said, Al-an inkasara dhahri. Now my back is broken. Now I don't have strength left. قَلَّتْ حِيلَتِي. And now I don't have anyone surrounding me. My supporter is gone. All my Saudi was my last supporter. So I don't have any hila. I don't have anything left in my capacity. I'm done. Like everything I had has gone. And then we mentioned about Ziyarat Ashura. We have to send the curse on the oppressors of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam from the beginning to the end. This is one of the components, one of the tabarra part of Ziyarat Ashura. Secondly, the expression of love and allegiance to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and their ashab, the companions. This is regarding Ziyarat Ashura. We mentioned the 12th Imam says, Alaykum bi Ziyarat Ashura. Recite Ziyarat Ashura. If you have trouble, recite Ziyarat Ashura, but recite with grief and sadness, the tragedy of Karbala in your mind. And now, I think we are done with Karbala. Of course, there's Euphrates River. It has some kind of merits because it is mentioned in the riwayat that every drop of Kawthar from the paradise, it drips inside this river Euphrates. So river Euphrates, it has some merit. It's recommended to take a ghusl from the Euphrates River. But I think if Karbala is supported with the pipelines of Euphrates River coming into the houses, then every water in Karbala is Euphrates River. So you don't want to go to the Euphrates River and drown there and caravan leader is looking for you. Oh, where did you go? And nobody can find you and everybody is now in a bad situation. So just do consider that water coming inside your house, because all the water comes from the Euphrates River. So therefore, you can just, when you take shower in or ghusl inside, and again we said the perfume and the ghusl, recommended ghusl, all these kind of things are important. And of course, I mean, as I mentioned, that let there be the majalis of Imam Hussein. You have a lot of tragedies. You have tragedy of Ali Asghar. You have tragedy of Ali Akbar. Let one night everybody get together in the shrine of Imam Hussein and then recite, somebody recites the tragedy of Ali Akbar. Next night recites tragedy of Ali Asghar or Abdullah Radiya. Then they recite the tragedy of Qasim. And like that, yani you have 3 nights you are going to stay there, recite majalis. You can recite the shrine of Hazrat Abbas, the tragedy of Abul Fadl Abbas. You go inside there and recite, sit, everybody sit together, recite. It's very important, when you recite this tragedy, you cry and grieve when you're reciting Ziyarat. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. You are reciting with your heart, you're grieving, your heart is grieving when you're saying salam. As-salamu alayka ya Aba al-Fadl al-Abbas. That grieving is very important. So therefore, grieving is a very important part when you are in Karbala. Don't forget that. Ziyarat, connection, sadness, grieveness, love, heart to heart, soul to soul, spirit to spirit, bond with Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. You will enjoy it. You'll feel the greatness inside your soul when you are smearing your love and heart and soul with the soul of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. And then we move to Kadhmain. Kadhmain, we mentioned that Baghdad was Hawza Ilmiya, like Kadhmain was Hawza Ilmiya. Like we said, the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif was in Samarra. Imam Hassan al-Askari was Samarra. Then this representative of Imam, they moved to where? They moved to Baghdad. In Baghdad, these 4 graves are there, 4 representative of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. But yes, of course, because of the security reasons, you will not be able to go. But I remember before, we used to go. Whenever we used to go, we used to visit. But this, after the fall of Saddam and the security becoming a big issue, we went twice, but we were not able to visit these 4. So what we do, while we are in the bus, we are leaving Kadhmain, we are crossing Baghdad. From inside the bus, we visit the short ziyarat for this 4 representative of 12th Imam. Even you can recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Just remember that they were the link from the time of the Infallibles alayhi salatu wasalam to the time of the major occultation. So they have done a great to secure the Shiism and put them in this transitional phase from the time of the Infallible to the time of a major occultation. So this minor occultation was a time where they had done an excellent job in keeping the Shias, followers of Ahlul Bayt, maintaining the direction of our 12th Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. So it's very important to appreciate them. Uthman ibn Sa'id al-Amri, Muhammad ibn Uthman al-Amri, father and son. Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wa sallam says, Al-Amri wa-Abnahu thiqatan. Amri and his son are too trustworthy. If they tell you something, then they are telling you on my behalf. Full representation from Imam Hasan al-Askari. After that, it continued in the time of the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. When Uthman ibn Sa'id was dying, the 12th Imam said, appoint your son. When Muhammad ibn Uthman was dying, the 12th Imam said, appoint Hussein ibn Ruh and Nawbakhti. And after that, the appointed one was Ali ibn Muhammad al-Samari. And after, he told him, now the ghaiba has waqa'at. The major occultation is there. Now you don't have to appoint. وَأَمَّا الْحَوَادِثِ الْوَاقِعَةِ. And now as for the events which are going to occur, occurring events, فَرْجَعُوا فِيهِ إِلَىٰ رُوَاتِ حَدِيثِنَا. The narrators of our hadith, the mujtahideen, the maraja, verified maraja, refer to them. These the one who study halalana wa haramana. They study our halal, they study our haram. They are fearful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are pious, they are securing their souls, they are safeguarding themselves. All these kind of criteria our a'immas, they gave for a marja' of taqleed. That means refer. وَأَمَّا الْحَوَادِثِ الْوَاقِعَةِ فَارْجَعُوا فِيهِ إِلَىٰ رُوَاتِ حَدِيثِنَا فَإِنَّهُمْ حُجَّتِي. Refer to the narrators of our hadith. All our maraja, from Sayyidi Sistani to Sayyidi Al-Khuy to all these great maraja, they are all narrators of our hadith until the Imams alayhi salatu. Their link is there, mentioned in the books of hadith. Sayyidi Sistani narrates from Sayyidi Al-Khuy. Sayyidi Al-Khuy narrates from Shaykh Al-Na'ini, who narrates from Sayyidi Ziyaduddin Al-Iraqi. The chain, it goes, this is an example. It's an example, just I'm trying to tell you that how the maraja, one after another, they have this link of the narration. So they are narrators of our hadith. فَرْجَعُوا فِيهَا إِلَىٰ رِوَاتِ حَدِيثِنَا. And then if a person who understand our halal and haram, and he's safeguarding his religion, he's securing himself. فَعَلَى الْعَوَامِ أَنْ يُقَلِّدُوا. Lay people should do taqleed to them. So this is the taqleed concept started after the major occultation, and taqleed started to happen to the pious, trustworthy, knowledgeable scholars who are narrators of our hadith and who are the knowledge of the sharia of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. So this started. So these are in Baghdad. We have certain other things like grave of certain anbiya. I don't remember these names, but they are there in Baghdad. Because of the security reasons, there's Masjid al-Baratha. Masjid al-Baratha is Masjid of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, where he offered salat in Baghdad. Masjid al-Baratha, there was a well. They could not remove the stone. The stone was so heavy. The companions could not. Imam Ali came and just pushed that stone like picking a small empty box, and the water came out. That well is still there in Baghdad. I don't know, they closed the well is open, but this was, the well came out from the karamat of Imam Ali, because there was a monk there. He said that this stone can only be moved by a prophet or a successor of true successor of the prophet. Nobody could move it, and only Imam Ali moved it. So it's, you will see that stone, I don't know if it's there or not, but last time we went before like 15-20 years, the stone was there. It was very heavy, and you move it with bulldoze or something. But at that time it was a sign of nobody could move it except for to open the well. Now the well is open, so now everybody, like 10-15 people, might be able to move it. But at that time, in the time Imam Ali, it was a sign to manifest the imamat of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents the signs and indications for the imamat and the infallibility of our Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. I need to quickly go through that. So we are still in Baghdad. So Baghdad is Masjid al-Baratha. There's a stone which indicates that Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was there in Iraq as well. The mother of Prophet Isa was there in Iraq. That's why there are some indications that they lived certain time, lifetime, in Iraq, because Jewish people, they used to live there in Iraq after the Persian king, he invaded Palestine and he captured all the Jewish people and he brought them there. And then after many years, so many of them, they returned to Palestine and some of them, they stayed there. So when this trouble happened in the time of Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam's birth, Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam stayed there. So there are narrations, they said she stayed in Egypt. There are narrations, they say she stayed in Iraq. She might have stayed 10 years in Iraq, 10 years in Egypt, just trying to keep herself and her child safe and secure from being killed and murdered by the Jewish people of her time. So that's why Masjid al-Baratha, it has the stone which is considered like cradle of Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, where Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, she used to cradle him. Anyhow, these are all like, but indicate that they lived there for a certain amount of time. There are still, I mean, I said the Baghdad, there are a lot of historical effects, but it's a little bit nowadays because of the security and all those kind of thing, issues, bombing and explosions. Just they take you in and Kazmin, and after Kazmin. Kazmin is like 15 minutes in Baghdad. It was like in time of Baghdad, Harun Rashid was the one who built Baghdad. The Shias, they used to live, there was a neighbor of Hashimiyun. So when Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kadhim, Musa son of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, our seventh Imam, he was killed by Harun Rashid. He was imprisoned 7 years. If you look at the tragedy of Imam Musa al-Kadhim, the longest period of Imam being imprisoned was Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam, like prison, like behind the bars. Yeah, our Imams, they have been under house arrest entire life, but somebody behind the bars, innocent person, 7 years, that's Harun Rashid's evil deed. An innocent person he was like. So Imam Musa al-Kadhim, just imagine Imam Musa al-Kadhim and his history and his life. And he was like always in the face of prostration inside the prison. One day Harun Rashid, prisoners, they come, jail keepers, they go, oh, Musa al-Kadhim, they ran away. They said, but where did he run away? There's the cloth lying down. When he comes, they see, they said, move this cloth. They moved the cloth, like he became so skinny and bone only, because lack of proper food and nourishment and all these kind of thing. So when you do sajda, like it will become like a flat. And if you have this abba on you, so completely it looks like a piece of abba lying or a cloth lying on the ground. So just imagine the madlumiyat of Imam Musa al-Kadhim when you're there. Just offer him salutation. And then his grandson, Muhammad al-Jawad, the shortest one who lived, like 25 years, shortest of the Imam, in the lived 25 years old and he was martyred. He lived only 25. He started practicing his imamat when he was about 9 years old. 9 years old, he was child and he started. So he was the shortest in his lifespan. The longest is the 12th Imam. His son, Imam Ali al-Hadi, was buried in Samarra. He also started practicing imamat when he was about that age, 10 or 11. And then you have the Imam Hassan al-Askari. His imamat time was only 5 to 6 years. The shortest Imam in this imamat. These are like quiz questions. You can make like quiz questions. But anyhow, the bottom line is that Imam Muhammad al-Jawad, father and grandson. Imam Ridha is in Iran, in Khorasan. We'll talk about that later, inshallah, if we have some time. But this is father and grandson. They both are buried in the shrine of Kazmin. Kazmin, two Kazms. Imam Musa al-Kazim and his grandson. As we mentioned in Arabic language, the namings, in Arabic language, the naming like Zuhur, Asr, Zuhrain, Maghrib, Isha, Maghribain, Musa al-Kadhim, Muhammad al-Jawad, alayhi salatu wasalam, Kadhimain, and Imam Hassan al-Askari, and Imam Ali al-Hadi, Askariyain. So one of them, the title goes to the second one if they are together. So that's why Al-Kadhimain, they have two golden domes. You will see them inshallah when you visit. In between these graves, there are certain graves of scholars. You will find Sheikh Al-Mufid, the first known marja. The mujtahid is Sheikh Al-Mufid. Sheikh Al-Mufid was a great scholar. And he has a lot of good stuff with the 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. One of the things that one day people, they came, and they said to Sheikh Al-Mufid that there's a lady, she died and she's carrying a child. And the child is like giving back to the Qibla. Like if they bury, they have to bury both to the Qibla. But the child is like this and the mother is like this. So how can they bury? They're now cutting the body, it's like violation of the sanctity of the deceased one. So Sheikh Al-Mufid, he said, okay, just bury her like that, to the Qibla and ignore the child. So these people, they came to Sheikh Al-Mufid after they buried. They say, we received your messenger. I said, who was that messenger? He said, the messenger said that Sheikh Al-Mufid wants you to take the child out and bury the child in a separate grave facing the Qibla and the mother facing the Qibla. Something like that in the story. So Sheikh Al-Mufid said, I did not send anybody. And he started thinking and he started researching and he found out a narration which indicates that. And it had slipped out of his research. So here Sheikh Al-Mufid closed the door. He said, no more ijtihad from today. No more giving fatwas. No more. And he regretted a lot. So after 40 days, a note came from the 12th Imam. Afidya Mufid. Benefit, oh, the benefiter. Name is Mufid. Mufid means faida. Benefiting. Minka al-khata wa minna al-tasdeed. If you make mistake, we will correct it. You know, don't worry about it. You did not do intentionally. So our 12th Imam is supporting. So then again, Sheikh Al-Mufid started. And Sheikh Al-Mufid, so he's buried inside the haram of Musa al-Kadhim and Imam Jawad alayhi salatu wasalam in Kadhimain inside. Outside there are two scholars. These are the two scholars, student of Sheikh Al-Mufid. One day he was sleeping and here a lady comes. She's carrying Imam Hassan, he's in dream.
Sister Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salatu wasalam has come in and she's carrying Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, and she tells Shaykh al-Mufid, teach my children. He was surprised, astonished, he woke up. Who am I to teach Imam Hassan and Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam? He's thinking, and knock, knock, knock. There was a knock on the door. There was a lady, her name was Fatima. She was the mother of Sharif al-Murtada, Sharif al-Radi. She told Shaykh al-Mufid, Shaykh al-Mufid, please teach my son. Shaykh al-Mufid now realized that Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha wants me to teach these two children. These two children were very smart, brilliant, talented. And one of them became scholar marja. He took the leadership of the Shia after the Shaykh al-Mufid. And the other one became a philosopher, an eloquent person who collected the sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, all types of sayings, and he compiled the book of Nahj al-Balagha. See the word Nahj al-Balagha comes from? Sharif al-Radi. And Sharif al-Murtada, Alam al-Huda, that is the marja after Shaykh al-Mufid. These two, when you finish the visitation of Imam al-Kadhimain alayhi salam and Shaykh al-Mufid from inside, you go outside, you will find the graves of Sharif al-Murtada and Sharif al-Radi beside the Haram. Not this is like 100 meters away from the Haram, not too far. You can just walk and visit them and pay some respects to them. That especially Sharif al-Radi and Nahj al-Balagha, I mean, Allahu Akbar, that's a great, great, great achievement to for all the followers of Ahlul Bayt. After that, after Sharif al-Murtada, Shaykh al-Tusi came, and I told you about that. The Shaykh al-Tusi, his library and everything was burned, and then he migrated to Najaf al-Ashraf and established the Hawza there in year about 400 Hijra. So, min al-Tusi ila al-Khu'i. So, let's see here. So, now we are done with the Kadhimain. Now, Kadhimain, there may be other lot of things here and there, but since the security issues and these, there's a lot of these days, may Allah condemn and curse these enemies of Ahlul Bayt that made the life miserable. But still, followers of Ahlul Bayt, they go. You do whatever you want to do. You explode me, I'll go to Jannat. If you explode me beside my shrine of Imam Hussein or Imam, I'll go to Jannat. If you explode me while I'm going there, I'm going to Jannat. It's a guaranteed Jannat. It's a martyrdom. Because I'm going there for the love of Imam Hussein, love of Ahlul Bayt. These crazy people, they don't know that we are going to go Jannat, and that guy who blowed himself is going to go to hell. And he will get this 70 virgins made out of hellfire, burning him to kebabs and shrimps. Anyhow, so whoever goes, we are going to go. You want to do, you make your plots. Death is once, and it's written. If it's going to come there, it's going to come there. Wherever it's written, it's going to come. If explosion happens and death is not written, I'm going to be safe. If explosion does not happen and death is written, I'm going to die somewhere else. Death is one. It's not going to come twice. So therefore, a person needs to have confidence. To hell with bombs and this and that. Just go visit. Express your love. Please Rasulullah, please Fatima al-Zahra, please Amir al-Mu'mineen, and please our infallibles, alayhi salam, and come back. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين